Hi there, I'm Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, a speaker, a mom of two teens and one emerging adult, and a passionate advocate for family and youth service. While I was researching my second book, Simple Acts, The Busy Teen's Guide to Making a Difference, I learned about so many big-hearted tweens and teens who are volunteering, fundraising, starting nonprofits, and becoming social entrepreneurs and activists. I wanted to hear their stories, and I wanted to celebrate them and share them with the world so that everyone can be as inspired as I am. I hope that after listening to these short episodes, you'll go out into your community and share your light, your talents, gifts, and strengths to help others. Because the truth is, every person can make a big impact, one simple act at a time. After a little break at the end of March, I'm excited to be back with new episodes. Kicking us off today, I have a fantastic conversation with three high school seniors from New York City. Sky, Max, and Ben noticed how much perfectly good food was being wasted in their school cafeteria. They started a nonprofit called Food for All, and they lead the Stuyvesant Food Security Club, which partners with community fridges around New York City. It's important to note that 119 billion pounds of food is wasted in the United States every year. That's 40% of all food. It's a huge problem, and the Stuyvesant Food Security Club is an excellent example of the ways that a small, committed group of people can make an impact. Please note, the audio at the end of this recording got a little wonky, so I want to be sure everyone knows that the website and social media handles for the Stuyvesant Food Security Club are available in the show notes. I'm going to let them take it away and tell us more about themselves and the club that they started. You want to kick us off, Max?
So we're the Stuyvesant Food Security Club. We're a student-founded organization at our high school. What we are is like a chapter of a bigger nonprofit that we started that's called Food for All NYC. What we do is that we collect school food that would have otherwise gone to waste and donate it to various food pantries and communal refrigerators across Manhattan.
Amazing. So that's really kind of a rescue organization, right? So I've interviewed a bunch of different folks about hunger and food insecurity. And so there are food pantries, there are soup kitchens, and there's food rescue. So it sounds like you guys are in the rescue business. Can you tell us a little bit more about how all of this got started?
Yeah, so this all kind of kicked off around a year and a half ago when I got really frustrated seeing people asking for food on the streets and in the subways, and I wasn't really sure how to help them, especially since the pandemic compounded their situation and made it a lot worse. So as I was seeing this huge issue of hunger in the city, I was also seeing piles on piles of perfectly edible leftover school food from my cafeteria being thrown away every single day. And so when I saw that, I thought that there had to be some way for me to get that excess food to those in need.
Wow, that's really a wonderful observation on your part. There is so much food wasted in our country and in our world. It's really pretty shameful. Ben, can you tell us a little bit more about Food for All and sort of what that organization does? So I understand the Food Security Club is there at Stuyvesant. I just want to tell all of our listeners, Stuyvesant High School is here in Manhattan, New York, where I am as well. But tell us a little bit more about Food for All.
Yeah, so the goal of Food for All is act as an umbrella organization for a lot of chapters around different public high schools that we envision collaborating with in the future. Obviously, right now we are limited to Stuyvesant, but as we connect with more schools and more community organizations, we are going to need a much larger nonprofit organization to help us coordinate everything, all the deliveries that are happening, and you know, all the activities that we're hosting together.
Okay. And tell me kind of from a practical standpoint, when the food is recovered from your cafeteria, and again, there's a lot of, how many students are at Stuyvesant?
3,500.
3,500? Wow. That's really big. I didn't appreciate that. Wow. So from a practical standpoint, how does the food kind of get from your cafeteria to these partner organizations? And can you tell us a little bit about those organizations?
Students usually leave like all the fruits that they don't eat, and cafeterias leave all the leftover fruits by a table near the exit of our cafeteria. And what we do is that at the end of the day, after all the lunch has already been served, we go there and collect it and store it in the cafeteria fridges until the end of the week, where we then bring it ourselves to the food pantries and community refrigerators. So far, we've delivered about over 7,000 food items, I think, which is 3,500 pounds in total. And per week, we usually have like 3 bags of food, which is anywhere from 80 to 250 pounds of food.
Wow. And I've got to imagine that it's just not just the three of you, right? You have some other volunteers, and then you have to, I mean, you're busy students, right? You haven't told us, I don't know what year you are in high school, but like you have a lot of work to do and applying to college and all of that. So how does this work? Sky, do you have someone with a truck or a van or, you know, from a literally like a logistical standpoint, how does this work?
Yeah, so we have around 50 members in the club right now, and they just coordinate who's going to be delivering on certain weeks. And usually we're just carrying the bags. So we have around 6 pretty large bags, and we'll just go with a group of, you know, 4 to 6 other people, because that way it's pretty manageable. We usually just take the train there, and then we can walk a couple blocks to there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a tremendous commitment, I have to say. I'm very impressed because, you know, this is a great idea. And I'm sure a lot of kids say to themselves, wow, there's a lot of food being wasted here. And then they run off rightfully to do their homework and to practice their instrument and to do their sports. But you guys are actually kind of seeing this through. So what kind of challenges have you faced? I mean, I guess initially you had to figure out who to partner with and who you could trust and where you could deliver the food so that you knew it was going to be given out to folks who actually needed it. But Ben, how did you sort of determine who those folks were and what were some other challenges you guys might have faced?
Yeah, so like in terms of community fridges, I think we settled on that idea pretty early because there are so many community fridges around the city. And the original goal, the original plan we had was actually, you know, since everyone's commuting to Stuyvesant, they can just drop it off at, let's say, the community fridge in their local community. So it'll be actually convenient for them. We got in touch with Dan Zatterer at Grassroot Grocery, who is running a couple of community fridges. And yeah, so we are working with people like him and also stuff like New York Common Pantry to coordinate these deliveries. And outside of, because this is a huge public high school with 3,500 students, everyone has their own things going on, and there's so many, like a couple hundred clubs.
Stuyvesant's not the only school that has this issue, right? And if the DOE committed to this and encouraged a club like yours, a food security club in every single high school, every single school in the city, in addition to composting programs, right? So we know that if there's plenty of waste that can't be rescued and given to others because it's been partially eaten, so if we can compost the stuff that's sort of thrown in the trash now, and we can give away the things that are perfectly good and edible, boy, we're in pretty good shape. So Sky, tell me a little bit more. Do you feel like there are any other challenges that you guys have faced? Did you have any problems with the administration giving you a little bit of a business about this, or anything else that you can share? You know, my hope here is that I amplify this story so that other teens will hear it and say to themselves all over the country, all over the world, gee, we could do that in our school, and I'm going to talk to the administration about that. And it's such a simple, elegant idea, and it definitely can be replicated everywhere. So was there anything else that you faced that was like a little bit of a head scratcher?
Yeah, so really the only big issue we're facing is trying to expand this to more schools, because when you go with the administration like DOE and stuff like that, they're really worried about overhead and liability. So much of this takes a really long time to get through, because we have to reach out to other people, then we have to trust that they're doing their best to advocate for us. So really what we want to do is we want to inspire other people to start clubs like this, because the way we got started is that first I talked to one of my teachers, Dr. Lisa Greenwald, who I knew had some experience working with community fridges and then also soup kitchens. So after that, I talked to the lunch ladies and custodians because they saw the problem firsthand. And that way, by talking to the people closest to the issue, it was really easy to get started quickly. Versus if I had gone to the principal or the superintendent first, they would have had to get a lot of clearance first. And then that's just a huge nightmare to try to coordinate. So yeah, this is really like ground up operation. So we need other students and teachers, other school faculty members to start this at their own clubs, which is why we're trying to get as much publicity as possible, just so that we can try to spread this message.
Absolutely. And I just loved what you said about, you know, speaking to the people who are closest to the issue, right? You know, the people in administration, I think in an abstract way, understand that this is a problem, but they figure that someone in maintenance or someone in in the kitchen staff is just going to handle it. And I love that you got with those folks first and spreading it to other schools and really empowering the students to take the lead. That's the best part about this story, right? Is that the kitchen staff could have said, oh, we should really partner with Grassroots Grocery. We should partner with a community fridge and do something with all of this food. By the way, food's been wasted like this for years and years and years, right? Like, this is not a new phenomenon, but the fact that you guys have taken the bull by the horns and really said, we're going to do something about it and followed through. Right? Everybody thinks this is a great idea. How many people are actually willing to recruit 50 volunteers and then to go and gather the food and to make sure that it gets out to the community fridges? What happens on Friday and then over the weekend? So you guys, you know, there's a kind of a delivery on the Friday. Does anybody do any of this work on the weekend? I appreciate that you're not all in school then, but has there been any effort to do some kind of food rescue work or you know, food insecurity work on the weekends with this group?
So yeah, we mainly just deliver on Fridays. On the weekends, since we're dependent on school food, it's really just whenever we have school. So sometimes, you know, if you have a shorter week, we'll have less food to donate. Last year during spring break, I was really trying to partner with delis because they also have a lot of food wasted. So yeah, I was trying to get more delis like every single day of the break. I was just out there going door to door to different delis. Unfortunately, I didn't really get any that had food to donate. So that's why we decided to focus on schools, because many other organizations are trying to focus, you know, grocery stores and then also delis. But it's really hard to get into schools unless you're, you know, like affiliated with one. So that's why we think we're trying to fill this niche, because that will also just help the overall initiative of food rescue.
Absolutely. Well, City Harvest, as you know, is a huge, you know, food rescue organization, and they work with a lot of restaurants, right? So that's a whole other layer is all of these restaurants in New York City. I mean, there are literally tens of thousands, I don't know, so many restaurants and so much food waste. I just love that you saw this and you went out and you made it happen. I'm also going to point everybody to Grassroots Grocery. You mentioned Dan and the work that he does setting up these community fridges. And I know that you guys have gotten some publicity alongside him, and that's how I found you. I think it's just fantastic.
So you do have a GoFundMe set up. That can also be found on our website. Once again, it's foodforallnyc.org. We also have a Gmail, foodforallnyc@gmail.com. If anybody wants to reach out to us, and we'd definitely be open to helping you start this your own initiative at your own school.
Amazing. Well, guys, I'm wishing you the best of luck in all things in this incredible project, which I think is actually feeding hungry people in New York City. So I thank you so much for doing this important work. And also in your college endeavors, I know this is an exciting time for high school seniors as we sit in the spring. I am pretty confident that you're going to do amazing things.
Thanks so much for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others, and always be kind.